This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
إن الحمد لله أحمده وأستعينه وأستغفره وأستهديه وأعوذ بالله تعالى من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. Praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help. We seek His forgiveness. We seek refuge in Allah azza wa jal from the evil of our own souls and from the potential evil of our own actions. Whosoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides, none can misguide. And whosoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leaves to go astray, none can guide. Wa ashhadu an la ilaha illa Allah wahdahu la sharika lah wa anna Muhammadan 'abduhu wa rasuluhu. And I bear witness that there is no God worthy to be worshipped except Allah, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa ba'd, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu ittaqullaha haqqa tuqatih wa la tamutunna illa wa antum muslimun. O you who believe, be mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as you should, and fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as you should. And be aware of Allah's presence as you should and as He's deserving of, subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Almighty. And make sure that you do not die or death doesn't come upon you except while you're in a state of Islam. Which means you have to be committed to the state of full submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. With the hope that when death comes upon you, you're in that state. وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. And he says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ اِتَّقُوا رَبَّكُمُ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُم مِّن نَفْسٍ وَاحِدَةٍ وَخَلَقَ مِنْهَا زَوْجَهَا وَبَثَّ مِنْهُمَا رِجَالًا كَثِيرًا وَنِسَاءً وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ الَّذِي تَسَاءَلُونَ بِهِ وَالْأَرْحَامِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلَيْكُمْ رَقِيبًا. O mankind, humanity, pay attention, be mindful of your Lord who created you from a single soul. And from that soul, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created its mate. And that is in reference to Adam alayhi salam and his wife, our mother, Ummuna Hawa, whose biblical name is Eve. وَبَثَّ مِنْهُمَا رِجَالًا كَثِيرًا وَنِسَاءً. And from that pair of male and female, one single male and one single female, that one single pair, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from them, He created many men and women, many males and females. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ الَّذِي تَسَاءَلُونَ بِهِ وَالْأَرْحَامِ. So be mindful of your Lord through whom you ask for your mutual rights. Your Lord through whom you say, for the sake of Allah, by Allah, I demand from you such and such. Be mindful of him. Because you do call upon him and you invoke his presence and his might whenever you demand your rights. Whenever you want something, you always say, Allah, this is my right. Allah gave it to me. So be mindful of him. Be aware of him. As well as wal arham, the ties of the wombs, your kinship. Because you also demand mutual rights through that. As'aluka Allah wa rahim. Even the Meccans used to say that. I ask you by Allah and by that kinship or that tie, that connection that we have. And subhanAllah, we live in a time where that connection doesn't hold that level of sanctity anymore in many, many cultures. And Allah Azza wa Jal closes that ayah, that powerful ayah that we're reminded of every week. إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلَيْكُمْ رَقِيبًا. For Allah Azza wa Jal is watching over you. You are under surveillance and you are being monitored. But unlike any other surveillance system, unlike any other monitoring system, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows much more. Allah knows the potentials, knows the intentions, knows the motives, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and nothing can be hidden from him. No amount of pretending or acting can deceive Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah says, be careful. إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلَيْكُمْ رَقِيبًا. Then we're reminded of this other, one of the most powerful verses of the Quran, when Allah Azza wa Jalla says, and when it's shared by the Prophet and every khatib that came after that, every Friday, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا. O you who believe, be mindful of Allah. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا. And whatever statement you make, make sure that it's upright. Make sure it's accurate. Make sure it's true. Make sure it's authentic. Make sure it's right. Intended for the right reason. Said in the right fashion. And results or leads to the most pleasing, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the most pleasing of results. قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا. To the best of your ability. And if you do that, if you're committed to that, يُصْلِحْ لَكُمْ أَعْمَالَكُمْ. Allah Azza wa Jal will rectify your affairs. All your affairs, everything will fall in place in your life. Everything is going to be in order. يُصْلِحْ لَكُمْ أَعْمَالَكُمْ. وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. And your sins will be forgiven for you. وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ فَازَ فَوْزًا عَظِيمًا. And know that if you obey Allah and His Messenger, just simply by obeying Allah and Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, irrespective of what you're going to get out of it in this dunya, فَقَدْ فَازَ فَوْزًا عَظِيمًا. Indeed, that in and of itself is victory. That in and of itself is triumph. That in and of itself is the greatest win that you can achieve. You're a winner. Simply by being obedient to Allah and His Messenger. So there is nothing shaitan or your enemies can do to you. You're always victorious, regardless of the outcome of any situation that you're in. Whether you are dealing with yourself and your own weaknesses or whims, and or you're dealing with an external enemy, you're always victorious if you obey Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Having said that, my dear brothers and sisters, I would like to share with you today, or begin this khutbah, with a story of how during the Khalifa Umar radiallahu anhu, during the time of the Khalifa Umar radiallahu anhu, Umar ibn Khattab, his era, when he took Khilafah, the Muslim community started to prosper and expand. And during the Khilafate of Umar, during the Khilafah of Umar radiallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, collectively, because Umar radiallahu anhu did not lead by himself, he had collective leadership. So he established this concept of shura. He engaged, just like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam taught him and every great Muslim leader. So Umar radiallahu anhu had a shura, had a body that was representative of the larger community. They came together and they realized the need for a unified Islamic calendar. In order to streamline daily and administrative affairs. Because some people use Persian calendar, some people use Gregorian calendar, some people use some other calendar. People used to use different ways to document events and remember, you know, how do you know? You know, when something happened or... So Umar radiallahu anhu summoned the Sahaba and they discussed the need to have a unified Islamic calendar, something that the Muslims will consider to be their official calendar. And they debated amongst themselves, when should we start that calendar? What's the first year of that calendar? Is it the year of the birth of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which also was referred to as the year of the elephant? Or should it be the year when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam received his first revelation on Jabal al-Nur or Jabal Hira in that? Or should it be the year the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was elevated to the heavens, the year of the Isra and the Mi'raj? Or should it be the year the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam moved to Medina? Or should it be the year the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away? When should we start our calendar? And then they reached a consensus that our history as a community shall start, or documenting, or our calendar should start from the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That was a turning point, because this is meant to establish us as a community, as a significant community that has the potential to spread this message of Islam and the justice and the superior system that came with it. So the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was chosen to be the year of the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And obviously, the hijrah of the Prophet ﷺ in and of itself actually took place in the third lunar month. And inshallah ta'ala, tonight we'll talk about the lunar calendar in general. And why does it start with Muharram? So the Prophet's actual hijrah took place that year in the third month. So they decided to use that year as the beginning of the Islamic calendar. And that was the first year, the first Islamic year, and when the Sahaba radhiyallahu alayhim decided this, it was almost 13 or 14 years after the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So that was marked as the 14th or the 15th year of the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and they obviously started the calendar from the first month, which is Muharram. So why the hijrah? Why the hijrah? And I want you to think about that. And come tonight, inshallah, azza wa jal, and join us in the discussion. Why was the hijrah, in your opinion, chosen as the event from which or upon which our Islamic calendar is based? That's a homework for you. You have well more than 8 hours to think about it, inshallah ta'ala. And we'll discuss it tonight, inshallah, after Isha. But what I want to talk about is not only the concept of hijrah in and of itself, but what prompted the Muslims to actually go through this process. We need to be reminded, my dear brothers and sisters, of the plight of the Muslim community and what they had to go through and what they had to endure for more than a decade. And how we need to be also reminded that this happened while the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bi abi wa ummi was with them. the messenger of Allah, the man that if he was to raise his hands and ask Allah Azza wa Jal for anything, Allah Azza wa Jal will grant it. Not only that, as a matter of fact, amongst the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam were special individuals. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that these individuals amongst the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there were some privileged individuals, and that privilege that was given to them by Allah Azza wa Jal, such as Al-Bara ibn Malik, was that if they were to demand anything from Allah, لو أقسم على الله لأبره, if they were to ask Allah for anything, Allah will give it to them. If they were to say, by Allah, such and such will happen, Allah Azza wa Jal will make it happen. In spite of that, they had to endure 13 painful years of the following. They were tortured and oppressed by the Quraysh. And some of the stories that we are very familiar with, whether it is that of Khabbab ibn al-Arat radiyallahu anhu wa arda, you know, a lot of people don't know that Khabbab at some point showed his back to Umar radiyallahu anhu. Said, look, Amir al-Mu'mineen. Because Umar was wondering, what did you endure, Khabbab? And when Umar saw the scars on his back, he was in shock. Radiallahu anhu wa arduh. Bilal. You all are familiar with what Bilal had to endure. Suhaib. The family of Yasir. Sumayya radiallahu anha. She bled to death. Her husband was beaten to death. Hammar reached the point of death. And there are many other companions whose names we don't even know. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows who they are. They had to endure that. Why? Because they simply said, Ahadun Ahad. That's it. They just wanted to practice Tawheed. That's all. By the way, they didn't even pray like we prayed. They didn't have the 5 daily prayers. They didn't have zakah. Khadija radiallahu anha, she died. She was boycotted. She was shunned by that entire society. She died without making any of the salawat that we're making. No Jum'ah, no 5 daily prayers, because it wasn't even there. No Hajj as we know it. They practiced whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told them to practice and whatever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam legislated for them. But that was all. That was Islam. Islam was to hold on to Tawheed and not to give in and not to give up. And to say Ahadun Ahad. They endured all of that. They endured economic and social boycotts. They endured being mocked and being oppressed. They endured the denial of basic human rights and opportunities that were extended to everyone else. They endured being denied having access to the Kaaba while anyone in the Arabian Peninsula or anyone in the world could access the Kaaba. The companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam who were born there, who had the greatest right to it, they were denied access to it. Their properties were seized and taken from them. And in spite of all these trials and tribulations, they said, Ahadun Ahad. They said, La ilaha illallah, and they held on to it. And they refused to back down, radiallahu anhum wa ardahum, believing wholeheartedly in the promise of Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And by the way, the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, didn't always promise them that, oh, by the way, this just in a few months, in a matter of any time, relief is going to come. As a matter of fact, many of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, told them that, I don't know what's going to happen. There are no guarantees. As a matter of fact, to the family of Yasir, the Prophet ﷺ said, صبراً أهل ياسر. There is nothing I can do for you. فإن موعدكم الجنة. That's it. You're going to, your promise is Jannah. They knew. Sumayyah and Yasir رضي الله عنهما, they knew they were not going to survive that event. They knew they were dying. And they refused to back down. Bilal didn't know whether he was going to survive it or not. Khabbab didn't know whether he was going to survive it or not. That was the situation. And the Prophet ﷺ had to watch his companions get tortured. He himself, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there were attempts made to physically hurt him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So as one of the mashayikh says, هذا دين أيها الإخوة هذا دين بلغنا على أشلاء ودماء أطهر الناس وأشرفهم وأكرمهم على الله سبحانه وتعالى. This religion, in order for it to survive, in order for it to reach you and I, there are people who made ultimate sacrifices. They were tortured, they were killed, they were denied basic rights, and they held on to that iman, into that faith, into that message, and passed it on. And there are many who actually died for it. And by the way, the suffering of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and their sacrifices did not stop. It carried on after the hijrah. As a matter of fact, some had to even give up more. And they had to willingly do it. You see, before hijrah, they were forced into it. They had no escape. After the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it became optional. You can actually, there was room for you to run away. But they didn't. They stood their ground. So this is what it took for this religion to reach you and I. And now, again, the idea is not for us at the beginning of this blessed Hijri year. It's not for us to be depressed or anything, but it's us for us to remember what it took for this to reach us so that we don't take it lightly. I ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to make you and I of those who listen and follow the best of what they listen to. أقول هذا قول أستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه يغفر لكم إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى وبعد صهيب رضي الله عنه صهيب بن سنان also known as the Roman though he wasn't actually Roman he was صهيب بن سنان رضي الله عنه as he was migrating and leaving Mecca he hid his wealth and he was very wealthy he made a lot of wealth the Meccans chased him caught up with him and they told him that there is no way we can let you get out of Mecca. You came to us as a refugee, had nothing, and now you're going to go away or leave with all this wealth. And Suhaib told them, listen, if you decide to come after me, I'm going to fight back, and you know that I can take out as many of you, as many as I have, he was a great shooter. He was a great archer. But if wealth is that you're after, my wealth, I have no need for it. I can tell you where to find it. You can go take it. I care less. They said, well, لا حاجة لنا بك. We don't care. You're a stranger anyways. We don't care where you go. As long as all that money that you made in Mecca, as long as we can take it. He said, you will find it in such and such place. Go, take it, I don't care. And when he reached Medina, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw him, without even him bragging or saying anything or posting anything online, he didn't have to announce anything. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam already received the wahi from Allah azza wa jal. He knew what Suhaib did. And as soon as he saw him, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam welcomed him and he said, Rabih al-bay' Aba Yahya. Your trade with Allah Azza wa Jal has been approved and accepted, and it will be profitable. Rabih al-bay. So that's what it takes. If there is a lesson that you and I need to learn from this, if there is a lesson that makes the sacrifices of amazing, believing, authentic, sincere, believers around the world, and especially in Gaza, if there is a lesson that we should learn from all of that, is that unless we are willing to sacrifice for Allah Azza wa Jal, unless we love Allah Azza wa Jal more than anything and anyone else, and we are willing to give up whatever it takes to earn the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is no victory. There is no acceptance. We just have to be willing to do that. And many of us here, we're not required to give up our wealth. We're not required to give up our homes. We're not required to give up our properties. We're not required to give up our jobs. We're not required to give up our freedoms. Some of us, our biggest struggle is just to give up a little bit of sleep. Just get off that bed and make it to the masjid and pray. That's all. And that's too much. Our struggle is to really distance ourselves. You know, there's no need for you, unless it's really a desperate situation, to skip prayers or combine them. And the skipping is worse, obviously. And all you have to do is just sacrifice. Take 5 minutes. Yesterday we sat down with the youth. We calculated, my dear brothers and sisters, it takes less than 2.5% of the time Allah Azza wa Jal give you and I, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us on a daily basis. Allah Azza wa Jal gives us 1,440 minutes every day if we get to live through the whole day. Out of all of that, all the prayers, if you combine and if you pray the essential sunnahs with them, don't take more than 2.5% of that time. That's all it takes. Is that too much? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't need it. If we can't make that amount of sacrifice, how do we expect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to answer our du'as when we open our hearts and our hands and we say, oh Allah, help us, relieve us, save us? So think about it. The year 1446 of the Hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes at a time that this ummah requires and needs as many as of its members to be willing to sacrifice for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and make significant change in their own personal lives. Do it for yourself, for your own salvation. Do it for your family. Do it for your community. Do it for the ummah. Do it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And remember that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مَّا نَوَى فَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولُهُ فَهِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ فمن كانت هجرته إلى الله ورسوله فهجرته إلى الله ورسوله ومن كانت هجرته لدنيا يصيبها أو امرأة ينكحها فهجرته إلى ما هاجر إليه. Our deeds are measured by our intentions. Whoever sacrifices or whoever's hijrah is for Allah and His Messenger, then that's what it's going to be for. And whoever makes hijrah for any other reason, that's what it will be recorded for. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make everything that we do and give up and we practice in our lives for His sake and for the sake of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. اللهم إنا نسألك موجبات رحمتك وعزائم مغفرتك والسلامة من كل إثم والغنيمة من كل بر والفوز بالجنة والنجاة من النار. اللهم اجعل هذا العام عام فرج ونصر للإسلام وأهله. اللهم أغث إخواننا المسلمين المستضعفين في غزة. اللهم أغثهم يا رب العالمين وعجل لهم بالفرج يا أكرم الأكرمين. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.
الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
استووا استقيموا واعتدلوا الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم
صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. آمين. يا أيها الذين آمنوا ما لكم إذا قيل لكم انفروا في سبيل الله اثاقلتم إلى الأرض أرضيتم بالحياة الدنيا من الآخرة فما متاع الحياة الدنيا في الآخرة إلا قليل إلا تنفروا يعذبكم عذابا أليما ويستبدل قوما غيركم ولا تضروه شيئا والله على كل شيء قدير إلا تنصروه فقد نصره الله إذ أخرجه الذين كفروا ثاني اثنين إذ هما في الغار إذ يقول لصاحبه لا تحزن إن الله معنا فأنزل الله سكينته عليه وأيده بجنود لم تروها وجعل كلمة الذين كفروا السفلى وكلمة الله هي العليا والله عزيز حكيم.
الله أكبر.
سمع الله لمن حمده.
الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر.
الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
آمين.
إذا جاء نصر الله والفتح ورأيت الناس يدخلون في دين الله أفواجا فسبح بحمد ربك واستغفره إنه كان توابا.
الله أكبر.
سمع الله لمن حمده.
الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
Assalamu alaikum. Inshallah, we have a very busy weekend. So starting today, inshallah, at 3:45 p.m., there is going to be a Ninja Gym obstacle course happening outside near the gazebo, going on from 3:45 to 5:45, and it's open for all ages 9 and up, and it's going to be $10 per person, which you can pay online or on site, inshallah. So that's going to be here in a few hours outside. And then tonight, there will be an organization fundraiser event for Human Necessity Foundation after Maghrib. And they will be having special guest Muhammad Yusuf, who is a famous cricket legend, and Taimur Junaid Jamshid, who is son of famous Junaid Jamshid. All of you are requested to join and support. And then also that tomorrow, from 5:30 p.m., an announcement from MVC. Please join with your family tomorrow, Saturday, from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. for the Candidates Forum. Covering federal, state, and local elections. This forum will be an opportunity for you to hear from candidates about their policies and plans. Let us show the candidates the unity of the Muslim community in Memphis and be there to ask about the issues you care about. You can register at tinyurl.com/MIC forum. So you can register at tinyurl.com/MIC forum. So the candidates forum will be here in the Nassim Banquet Hall tomorrow, 5:30 p.m. until 7:30 p.m. And then we will also have the weekly barbecue that we've been having throughout the summer right after the Candidates Forum. And finally, on Sunday, there will be the Euro Cup Finals watch party happening at MIC. And that will be on Sunday at 2 p.m. So we'll have watch party. There'll be pizza. So bring your family and your friends. So alhamdulillah, there's something going on every day. So we hope to see you here, inshallah. Jazakallah khair.